Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight for allowing us to see a year that we have never seen before. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us to go into the year 2021. We're thankful tonight that tonight Brother Horace Stroud will declare unto us the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, tonight that someone is sincerely searching for the truth and they are humbled themselves to be able to accept the truths that we can read about in your holy word. Pray, Lord, that Brother Stroud remind us of the fragility of life and the shortage of life, that our life is something that can be here today and gone tomorrow. Pray, Lord, that tonight he break unto us the gospel so that everyone listening will understand what is required of them to be saved before it is eternally and lasting too late. We thank the Lord for this meeting by which you have allowed us to have to share these gospel truths. Pray, Lord, that you continue to bless us with the increase. And pray, Lord, that the borders of your kingdom continue to be expanded. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flounder. We appreciate you so very much for working with me during the year of 2020. And now tonight, 2021, the New Year's Day, January 1st, was so thankful that as we close out this week, God has allowed us to see last year. We made it to the beginning of this year. We are so thankful to have every person on the call, who, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored guest, the VIP of our call. And we pray now you take your Bible and pay attention to the things that will be taught tonight, our speaker, and also please pay attention to what he would talk about as pertaining to your life and importance of being saved. Brother Stroud is my assistant minister. He labors with me at the Highland Heights Church of Christ, a good friend of mine as well, and someone I truly respect, and especially his knowledge of the scriptures. I know you'll be impressed tonight as well as he'll bring us a message. And we chose the topic tonight because if we close out 2020, so many people have died. So many people don't realize that life is simply a vapor, and we want you to do something about it because we're all on that countdown. So please listen carefully as you bring us a message tonight about life and restaurant.
Thank you, Brother Brooks, my co-laborer, that I'm just thankful that the Lord saw fit for you and I to come together to meet and to serve the congregation here in Houston, the Highland Heights Church of Christ, and to all those that are members that worship and serve that congregation. From Brother Brooks and I want to say thank you for all that you've done to serve the Lord in the year 2020. I want to thank Brother Flounder, as Brother Brooks shared, also been a co-host of this gospel call for the year 2020, to those who I want to thank them greatly for their perseverance in continuing this call that started back in the month of May and has continued through the year. And I want to say to those that are on the call this evening, if you are not a member of the Church of Christ, you are our very important guests, our VIPs, and this message that I'm sharing tonight was pitched with you in mind. And also to those that are members of the Church of Christ, there's something in the Word of God also for you, as I would encourage you to listen attentively to the Word of God as I share from the Word of God and give you a closing thought also during this message. I want to say that the theme for the closing month, the closing message for the month of December and the first message of 2021 is from the metaphor, the Supreme Court of Heaven has ruled. That was the theme, the Supreme Court of Heaven has ruled. We find, and I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. I'll ask that you Be studious and follow along with me as I give the scriptures, that you, if you're able to turn to those pages to follow and read with us, I would ask you to do that, and I'll share a reason why. And then also, if not, if you're not as familiar with the books of the Bible, I will ask you to jot those scriptures down that you can refer to later. In Psalms, the 119th division, in the 89th verse, the Bible reads, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Word of God is settled. The Supreme Court of Heaven has already settled the matter. God's word has settled the matter forever about life being a vapor, which is what I was, the task I've been given. And I want to share with you that when we talk about that metaphor, the Supreme Court of Heaven, in Acts chapter 17, and the verse is number 29, we will see the Supreme Court of Heaven. For Paul, when he spoke to those of Athens, he said, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art or man's device." So he was talking about the Supreme Court of Heaven is the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But notice what he said in verse 30 as we get into our subject tonight. He says, "And at the times of this ignorance, God winked at or God overlooked." But note what the Bible says. "But now," when? "Now, commanded all men," and that's generic, "everywhere to repent." God, the Supreme Court of Heaven, has given a rule and a law that all men everywhere has to repent. Has to repent. He said, "Because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead," and that being Christ. God said that he has appointed a day in which the world will be judged in righteousness. Yeah, and so we want to talk about that tonight, understanding that the Supreme Court of Heaven has ruled and has given judgment, and it's going to be judgment in righteousness. And so from James chapter 4, if you'll meet me there, verse 13, the scriptural text from which I will begin this subject comes from the letter of James, in James chapter 4 and verse number 13 and 14. James pen, "Go to now, or come now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain." James says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." He says, "For what is your life?" What is your life? "It is even a vapor." Life, James says, using life or human life figuratively, "it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." No matter how long one may live in this life, the Word of God has settled that one's life appears on this earth is for a little time, and then it vanishes away. This evening, I want to discuss what is essential for one to do in this life as given by the Supreme Court of Heaven or the Godhead. The Supreme Court of Heaven has given the promise of equal justice and the opportunity for heaven under the law of God to every person that is obedient to the commandments of God as written in the Bible, the Word of God. So the Supreme Court of Heaven has given laws in the Bible that a man is obedient to those laws given by God, then one can have heaven as an eternal home. And so I want to share some things with you tonight. In the Old Testament, in Jeremiah chapter 10, and the verse is number 23, Jeremiah makes a statement that I think all should know. Jeremiah recognized by saying, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Jeremiah recognized something that we all need to recognize, because life is a vapor. And we're only here for a little time. Jeremiah acknowledged that it's not in a man to direct his own steps. It's not in a man to live as he wants to live. And for that reason, God has given us the Bible. The Bible is twofold. The purpose of the Bible is the glorification of God. That's honoring or giving thanks and showing love and respect for God. That's honoring God. And secondly, the purpose of the Bible is, since we're talking legal terms tonight, it is the acquittal or salvation of man through Jesus Christ, Christ being your defense attorney. So God gave us the Bible that would allow man to be acquitted for his crime without showing the Word of God, but also God gave us the greatest defense attorney known to man in Jesus Christ. And that salvation means eternal deliverance after I'm in this life for a little time. And so I want to establish for us some foundational things. I like to share God's word without the assumption that someone may or may not know Scripture. It is the preacher's job to share those things in the Word of God. So I want to begin by sharing that the Bible, the Word of God, is the inspired Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and the verse is number 16. That is established where Paul in his second letter to Timothy said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God or inspired of God, and is profitable for doctrine." Doctrine tells us what's right. "For reproof." Reproof tells us what's wrong. "For correction." Correction tells us how to get right. "And for instruction in righteousness," it tells us how to stay right, "that the man of God may be perfect," or complete, or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So God gave us the Bible that man would know right from wrong, that man could mature and be the spiritual person God would have him to be. And then in John chapter 20, and the verse is number 30, as I establish again the purpose of the Bible, but key things about the Bible. And the Gospel of John, John 10, and John 20 and verse number 30 and 31, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So again, I want to establish that God gave us the Bible, and what you are to believe are the things that are written. And none of us have seen Jesus, but we believe there is a Jesus who is the Christ, the Son of God, because it is written in the Bible, the Word of God. And the way that one might have eternal life is through the name of Jesus Christ. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, and the verse is number 4, I want to establish one other point about the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 3, and the verse is number 4, Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, said, "Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." So not only do we have the Bible written, but you also must read the Bible. Why? So that you may understand those things that are written in the Word of God. And so we establish the fact that God gave us the Bible, and the purpose of the Bible is the glorification of God and how man can be saved through Jesus Christ. And then Jesus said back in John chapter 8, and the verse is number 31, in John chapter 8, and the verse is number 31, the Bible reads, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So in order for me to be free in the eyes of the Supreme Court of Heaven, Jesus said, I have to continue in his word. And in continuing his word, I will know what the truth is, and the truth is what will free me in the eyes of the Supreme Court of Heaven, or the Godhead. So then the question is, why does man need to be acquitted or found not guilty in this life? Good question. Why is it that man need to be set free? Because in Romans chapter 3, and the verse is number 23, Paul, writing to those in Rome, said, "For all have sinned." For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So everyone that is at the age of accountability have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In 1 John 3 and 4, the Bible establishes, John wrote, "Whosoever committed sin transgressed also the law." We talked about the law of God. "For sin is the transgression of the law." When we violate the Supreme Court of Heaven law, we are guilty in the eyesight of God. And there is a punishment for all that have sinned. All that sin, there is punishment. Because Jesus also said in John chapter 8 and verse 21 concerning sin and the violator, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sin, and whether I go, you cannot come. So if a person dies in his sin, you can't go to heaven. And so now, I want to share with you the single most important event in the entire Bible, and something that man must not only know but obey while in this life. Peter shared with us in 1 Peter 3, and the verse is number 18. 1 Peter 3, and the verse is number 18. Peter, in his letter to Christians, wrote, for Christ also has once suffered. Notice now, for sin. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So we need to understand that God, the Godhead, not only was Christ our defense attorney, I want you to know that Christ also was our propitiation. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1, Christ not only defended us, but now understand this about the court of God or the Supreme Court of Heaven. Nowhere in no court in this land will the court allow the one that is sentenced not to be punished. But notice, I want you to notice what God did. The point of a sentence is to punish the wrongdoer. In the court of law, here in this country, that when a person violates the law and is found guilty, that person is punished for the wrong that he has done. But notice what the Godhead of heaven did. The Supreme Court of Heaven, notice what he did. It allowed the defense attorney to be punished for the wrongdoer. That doesn't happen in no other court but the court of God. That's why God is a loving God, because God allowed the defense attorney to, after he defended the wrongdoer, which was mankind, all of humanity, God allowed the defense attorney to say to the court, court, I would accept the punishment of mankind, knowing how severe the punishment was before he even suffered the eternal punishment, or the punishment that was placed on him. They not only whooped him with a whip and tore the flesh off his back, but they also put a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him. The defense attorney who defended mankind was punished. But even before the punishment, they treated him like no other person had been treated. They whooped him until he was unrecognizable. And then after that, they made him carry his cross, and they had someone to assist him as he went to that death for mankind. So our defense attorney was the one who was punished. And notice what Peter reminded us as he saw it, that Christ also has once suffered for sin. He was the just but unjust. Why did our defense attorney do it in the Supreme, before the Supreme Court of Heaven? That he might bring us back to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And so we find in Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse is number 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses number 7. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So what God allowed, no court allows this, was that the defense attorney brought redemption through his blood. Somebody said, well, what is redemption? Redemption is when the wrongdoer is delivered through Christ's death from the guilt and the power of sin. That's redemption. So God allowed, through the blood that Christ shed, he suffered on the cross for 6 hours, and the blood that he shed on that cross, that blood that he shed was for the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And again, as I said, nowhere that the person that's the wrongdoer, someone else, can be substituted to serve his sentence. And so Peter says that there may be some on the call tonight. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:20, he says, concerning Noah's day, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. So we find that 8 souls were saved by water in Noah's day. And so what Peter shared with them was that same figure, he says in verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doeth also now, right now, save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not only did Christ suffer on the cross, he was buried, but he resurrected and rose again. That is called the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, that is the gospel. You have to believe the fact that Jesus Christ suffered for you on the cross. He died, he was buried, and he resurrected. He resurrected. And so if you're on the call tonight, you need to know, as was the case when Peter, the same Peter, preached his first gospel sermon in Acts 2:22-24, he shared with them in Acts chapter 2, and the verse is number 37. Peter shared with them on that occasion. He said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And hopefully tonight we have those on the call, and you're pricked in your heart after hearing what God, how God loved you and how Christ took your punishment and suffered for you. He said, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, those that heard that gospel sermon, said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter recognized that they had heard the gospel and they believed it. Then Peter said unto them, repent, turn to God, turn to Christ, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Baptism is for the remission or the forgiveness of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so Peter said that to them, his message to them. So I want to share with you that baptism is the condition for forgiveness given by the Supreme Court of Heaven or the Godhead. They gave that statement in Mark chapter 16, and the verse is number 15. The Supreme Court of Heaven through Christ said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So the Supreme Court of Heaven have given conditions. So how does one become a Christian, a child of God, a member of the Church of Christ? I share with you, one must hear the gospel, one must believe the gospel, repent of their sin, make the confession as was stated in Acts 8:37. What you believe in your heart, from the scriptures. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be water baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and the Lord will add you to the church. The Bible tells us, even in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Those that should be saved are added to the church. Jesus made the statement to those that would be Christians in Matthew 6:33. Jesus said, what is the most important thing, the first thing he wants you to do? Jesus said it in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You should be seeking the kingdom of God, which is none other than the church. And then in Acts 20 and 28, the Bible says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made ye overseers, talking to the elders. He said, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So not only did Christ shed blood for the sins of many, but also he purchased the church with his blood. And some may say, well, what is the church? Well, there's a descriptive phrase in Romans 16 and 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Where, who is the church? What descriptive phrase is referred to as the church of Christ? And then as I close, we have Christians on the call. I want to say this lastly to the Christian. I would like to encourage you from the Supreme Court of Heaven on how to live in the year 2021 and onward, if the Lord allows your moment to roll on. In Galatians chapter 2, and the verse is number 21. This is to Christians now. I've shared with the non-Christian what you must do. You must be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and the Lord will add you to the church. But in Galatians chapter 2, as I close, Paul, writing to the Galatians, said in verse number 21, to the Christian, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life, we talked about how it is a vapor, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. To the Christian, that's how I want to live in the year 2021 and in other moments the Lord give me. I thank you tonight for listening to me as I share God's word with you. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Brother Stroud. We appreciate you bringing that message tonight on January 1st, 2021. To those listening, we've talked about life tonight. Have you looked in the mirror and thinking about your life? What you going to do with your life? What if your life ends? You don't want to die in your sins. That's tragic, to die in your sins. So you want to be saved. And you want to be saved and you want to be baptized. We're talking especially to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. We believe that the saved are in the Church of Christ. There's only one church in the Bible. So that's why you are a VIP. We want you to know that. Now, to be saved, he's talked about that. If you want to be saved, be baptized, get your life right with God. Make that connection with the Lord so you can walk in the light as he's in the light. Maintain a fellowship and be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Go ahead and get back with the person we invite to our call, and they will help you and assist you as well to get you to a preacher or someone who can teach you. If that doesn't work, go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make the arrangements to get you further taught. If you need more teaching, we'll make sure we get someone to you. If you desire to be baptized, we'll arrange that as well. And, of course, if you want to go back and listen to Brother Stroud's message or any of the messages we've had on since the month of May, just go to our website, hollowheightscoc.net. That's hollowheightscoc.net. And there you can find the recorded message. Just go to Nationwide Gospel Call tab. And you'll see it there. Just whatever message you want to listen to, you feel free there. Free to download, and you can take your time and listen and study. our speakers. Yeah, so we are thankful tonight as we launch this first night of 21 that you are on our call, and we want to pray for you now. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings. Lord, we love you, and Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who hung on that cross in our stead. He was innocent, we're guilty, as we were taught tonight. And we know, Father, that the wages of sin is spiritual death. And death passed upon all men because of sin. And we know that all started with Adam. And we are so thankful tonight that you sent a Savior in your Son. And he gave his life, shed the blood that would wash our sins away and bring us into a covenant relationship with you. And we thank you so very much for that. We pray now for the listening audience. Pray for those who our visitors, that they understand that we speak the truth of love. The things that we speak are according to the scriptures. We pray that they can receive it now, your word, with meekness. We know it's able to save their souls. We pray to our members of the Church of Christ who may have strayed away, they'll come back in this new year and get their life right with you, that they too will repent and confess their faults. We pray for all of those who are listening tonight. You bless them in a special way. We love you and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, that's the last lesson for this week. And we're thankful for Brother Stroud and for the message he brought us tonight. Next week, for the month of January, we're starting another series. The theme is called Sounding the Trumpet. What we're going to do is we're going to bring on elders and preachers from the same congregation, and they'll be speaking. Elders are apt to teach, and ministers and elders are working together, and they both can teach the simple truths to lost souls. And we're so thankful for men who qualify to be overseers, elders. They call them elders, overseer, bishop. That's all the same office in the Bible. And pastor, that's the other thing. That's the youth. Elders are pastors. And so preachers are evangelists and preachers are ministers. That's what we refer to them, man. That's what the Bible does. So join us next week, kicking us off Monday night, elder from Anchorage, Alaska, Jaylee Jackson. His preacher Tuesday night, Brother Tony Cloud from Anchorage. He'll be coming on Tuesday night. And, they'll be talking about the need for salvation and by someone is calling your name. Then Wednesday night, we got Brother Nathan Franson, preacher from Citrus Heights, California, talking about the gospel being healed. Then on Thursday night, elder from Citrus Hill, Brother Charles Gregory, talking about them that are lost. Then closing us out next Friday night, Jackson, Tennessee, preacher LaVelle Hayes, about Jesus the Christ. His elder will come on next Monday night. And so we thank these men for volunteering, so thankful for these congregations that these men are serving in. We will be posting a database on our website. We're working on that, so that you'll be able to search when you're traveling. You can go to our website and be able to find these congregations that are sound as we define sound. And so that's very important to me that these men, these congregations, are speaking where the Bible speaks, and be silent where the Bible is silent. We love you all. Happy New Year's. Hope you have a good night's rest. Thank you for joining us.